Tonight we're going to talk about the conversation of a Christian. And we're going to look into James chapter 3. And when we get there, we're going to open in a word of prayer. So I'll give everybody a second to turn to James chapter 3. And let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we come before you now in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, what a crazy year it's been with not being able to come to church and then being able to. It's just so good to be back in the house of the Lord, having fellowship one with another. Lord, as we have fellowship, help us to be careful to not hurt one another, to not say things that are offensive, but Lord, to say words that are edifying and kind. Lord, help us to build up our body here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Lord, help us to find the niche that you have called us to be part of it. And Lord, continue the work. We ask now, God, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Glorify yourself in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in James chapter 3, you look at the first two words and James says, my what? Brethren. He's talking to who? He's talking to believers, right? He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to believers. And he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And as I study this verse out, I realize that when he says, be not many masters, he's telling us basically in a nice way to not be a know-it-all. Okay? You know those know-it-all people, right? And I think we probably, maybe some of us, have been in that position at one time or another where we think that we have the market cornered on all the wisdom that goes with the topic, right? So just ask us and we'll tell you all about it. But James here is talking to believers and he says, listen, don't try to be an expert in everything because there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. Think about this in the church environment here. Somebody comes to you as a mature believer and they ask you a question and you don't know, but you don't want to say you don't know. So you just go ahead and kind of spout off what you think, and you have sent somebody on their way in error, and you are accountable for sending them away in error and not taking the time to say, listen, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. I'll study up on that thing or whatever. And James is warning us about our conversation. You know, perception is a big part of first introductions, isn't it? Within 10 minutes, you can kind of get a feel by what? By somebody's conversation, who they are, what they're about, what their likes are, what their dislikes are. You can kind of perceive attitudes and things like that. But in verse 2, James says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, I had to think about that a little bit. And I went over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. And let's go there just so that... Because you know what? No matter what anybody says, every time you get up behind here, you're nervous. It doesn't get any easier. It really doesn't. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, God's word says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. So when James says that if a man is able to bridle his tongue, he's a perfect man and able to control his whole body. What is he essentially saying? That somebody that walks with God to the point that they're able to have self-control in most situations is also able to maintain the actions of their person or the actions of their body. In other words, I'm not going to go and not say something, but then I'm going to go punch Sarge in the nose. If I'm able to enter into a volatile situation and maintain composure. And listen, folks, it's not impossible to do. And this is just between us, but I can be, when I was a younger man, I was kind of a hot-tempered guy. But let me tell you something. God will give you as much grace as you need for every situation, and it's available all the time. All you have to do is tap into it, use it, and accept it. If you're not willing to, if you think you're going to handle it in your flesh, well, you're going to have a problem. If you think that in your flesh you're going to be a good person, or you're going to have this situation all dialed in and just, you know, you watch, you're destined for failure. And James says here in verse 3, this is interesting. This is something I see once in a while. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, I watch my wife ride horses. And here's this animal that's like 1,200 pounds, and they're strong. He has a stall guard in front of him, and I don't know, he just broke it. You know, he pushes up against it. And this stuff is made out of, like, you know, Kevlar. And it's got these big stainless hooks on it. And it's not, I mean, this is a powerful animal. But, you know, all she has to do is put this little brass fixture in his mouth. And it pushes against his tongue. And all she's got to do is give a little tug on the reins. And that big 1,200-pound animal, all of a sudden, he's willing to do whatever you want him to do. Why? Well, I believe the illustration here is that the tongue is under control. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're ambassadors for Christ. And part of that ambassadorship is to be a representative. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth as his people. Now, if we have unchaste tongues and uncontrolled mouths, what kind of testimony, what kind of representative are we going to be? We're not going to be a very good one. And listen, you know, almost 30 years ago, I thought to myself, I want to have my own business because I want to show the world that I'm a great car guy. And the Lord opened one door after another, and I think he chuckled all the way because he gave me that desire in my heart. But you know what? It wasn't for me to show that I was a great car guy. It was school time for Dave. Because you know what? You know what the deal is when you're in business? You better learn to control this, because you know what happens if you don't? Your customers and your revenue and your living walk right out the door. So it was school time. And not that we should look at things always from an economic point of view, but as a spiritual point of view and a desire to serve the Lord and to glorify him in the things that we say and do. And whatever tool God needs to use to bring us to that point where we become Christ-like as he would have us to be, so be it. In verse 4, it also talks about here, the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned with a very small helm. Now, did you ever think about that? Some of those big sailing ships that are 60, 70 feet long, and they have those masts with a great sail. And they got that little rudder behind them. And all that little rudder has to do is move from one side to the other, and it turns that great ship from one side to the other. It controls that great ship. There's a theme here. And basically the theme is that if we walk with the Lord close enough, and we love him enough, and we're in his word enough, and we're growing enough, and we're praying enough, and we're experiencing the grace of God enough in our life, that we're going to be able to maintain the control over this, and everything else will fall into place. Verse 5, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Boasting. Oh. And you know what? We're all guilty of it. Why? Because our flesh loves it, doesn't it? Boasting is what? It's bragging, isn't it? It's about me and I, and it's about my accomplishments and what I can do and what I've got. And, you know, we used to know a guy, we used to call him, that ain't nothing. And no matter what you did, okay, oh no, this is a true story. This is a true story. No matter what you did, what you had, how much you had, he had one better, bigger, faster, shinier, or he knew somebody that did. And it was just like, oh. It got to the point, you know, it was like, I don't want to say it, but, you know, you hear a knock on the door and you look out the peak through the window, you go, oh, no. What's the matter? Oh, that ain't nothing's here. You know, it's just like. So one time, everybody's telling their fish stories. You know, we're going over in the race and catching bluefish. And he caught something this big and a sand shark or whatever. So one of the other guys in the group says, hey. He said, I went fishing out in the race too. He says, I hooked on this thing and the pole was bending and I was fighting it like anything. And finally I got it up into the boat and he says, it was an old antique railroad lantern. And he goes, wow, really? And he goes, guess what? The flame was still lit. And he goes, so that ain't nothing. Goes, aw, come on. He goes, well, I'll tell you what. He goes, you shorten that fish up by a couple of inches and I'll blow the flame out. Yeah. But he was just one of them guys, man. No matter what you did, he did it better. And bragging is just one of those things that, listen, the only thing we need to be bragging about is the grace of God and how God transformed us from that old rotten person that we were into this new person that he's still working on. But he made us a new creature in Christ. That's what a testimony is, man. It's not a bragamony. It's a testimony. And we need to give God glory for everything in our life that he does. And everything that we have has been given to us by God so that we can be a steward over it. And if it wasn't for the grace of God in our life, none of us would be sitting here right now. None of us would be having probably any of the things that we have. Right. And bragging. Oh, what a terrible thing for a Christian to do. It's just lifting yourself up, man, puffing yourself up. You notice the other side of this verse, it says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's talk about some other conversations too. How about backbiting? How about gossip? Let me tell you something. I'm the type of guy, if you got something to say to me, I'll have way more respect for you if you come up and say it to my face. I might have hurt feelings for a minute, but you know what? We'll go off somewhere. We'll pray. We'll deal with it. We'll get it right. And it's done and it's over with. You know, and I think every one of us are guilty. We hear something and what's the first thing we want to do? We want to repeat it, don't we? Wrong thing to do. Especially, you know, gossip is usually edifying, isn't it? No. Gossip is usually something tragic about somebody else's life. Gossip is usually something that, you know, somebody else has either fallen on hard times or they've fallen into sin or they're doing something that they shouldn't. And listen, we shouldn't revel in that. And certainly we shouldn't be repeating it. I mean, if we want to come out and see pastor about it and say, hey, listen, you know, I know this and I don't know if you know it or not, but I think so-and-so needs prayer. But we shouldn't spread it amongst ourselves so that now this person is going to be embarrassed to come back to church because everybody knows their business. You know, God sometimes gives us opportunity to know things because he wants to see what we're going to do with it. And oftentimes it should be we should pray for a person or we should go and try to help the situation. How can I help you? Not try to add to the situation and to the demise of it. Man, I'll tell you what, gossip is the quickest way to wreck a church that there is on the face of the earth. It will tear a church apart, backbiting and gossip. You got something about somebody that, you know, I shouldn't know about? I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want that. We can talk about all kinds of stuff, but bad things about other people, I don't want to know about it. I just don't want to know about it. It drags you down. It's not edifying. It doesn't build anybody up. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look there just for a second. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6, the Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. I like this. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. You ever light a wood stove? You got to take kindling and you got to break it into little tiny pieces and you got to keep it going. When I was a kid, My dad, a couple times, tried to show me how to light the wood stove. He finally gave up, and he gave me one of those little torches. And he goes, here, light it with this. He says, because you can't build a fire to save your life. He goes, so. But, you know, you gotta keep it going. It's effort. It's work. You know, you put a couple of sticks in, and you light it, and it starts to go. And then you got to put a little bit. But you can't put too big of stuff in. You got to keep feeding it a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time. That's kind of like tale-bearing and gossip. You know, you got to keep that fire stoked. You know, you got to blow some air on it and get the embers going, and you got to make sure now you can start putting the big logs in there. And but, you know, all of us have been there. And at the end of the gossip stories, when you walk away, you feel so dirty. You feel like you almost got to go home and take a shower. You know, you just feel like, why did I just get involved in that mess? Why? I feel like I've done something wrong, and for the most part, I have. But it says here in verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. If you're not willing to put any kindling on the fire, guess what? There's not going to be a fire. Somebody starts to talk to you about a brother or sister in Christ, or about the pastor, or about the deacons, or you know what? The best thing I can tell you is, why don't we get the pastor or the deacons or this person, and we can have a meeting and we can get it all resolved and ironed out. Oh, well, no, I don't think it requires that. Well, of course not, because then we'll resolve it and there'll be nothing to talk about. How about complainers? Wow. You know, it seems like, and I get sucked into this all the time. Friday was a day. Whew. Friday was a day. Brother Dan, I appreciated your presentation this morning about priorities and about knowing our time. And it's just like, you know what? We are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve God. And what a way to spend up your life serving God. We can be involved in so much less, I don't know, the honorable things than serving God. I mean, yeah, you can make $1 million, you can have 10 houses, you can have 14 cars, you can have an airplane, you can have... There's nothing like serving God. There's nothing like spending your life up serving the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing at the end of it you're going to stand in front of him and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what I'm looking forward to. But you know what? There's stumbling blocks along the way. But conversation, complainers. You ever been around complainers? You'd give them $1 million and they'd look at it and go, oh, it's wrinkled and dirty. Oh, well, wait a minute. Let me take that back and, you know, I'll see what I can do for you. You know, there's just people in life that just aren't happy about anything. And what a shame that sometimes God's people can get sucked into that vortex of just unhappiness, unthankfulness, and discontentment. And it comes right out. What does Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So, you know, we can put a good presentation on sometimes. You know, we can put a show on and we can be Joe spiritual. And we can act like, you know, we're serving God. But eventually, what's in here comes out here. You can't hide it. Can't hide what's inside. And that's why it's important. You know, the Bible tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. If you have a heart that loves the Lord, if you have a heart that's after the things of God, that's what's going to come out of your mouth, not the putrefying, jumbled mess of this world. Listen, and another thing about conversation, listen, Facebook, all those social media venues, listen, don't put your personal business out on that foolish thing. And if there's anybody out there that puts curse words or swear words on their post, don't like it. I don't even want anybody to know that I know people like that, never mind like their post. You know, I mean, the whole political thing has been a little bit over the top and stuff like that, but I see people that put their whole life out there on social media. Listen, there's some things that's private. There's some things that should be kept between you and the Lord, or you inside your home, not out there in the world for everybody to see and know. So we see here in Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You want to be known as a person that sows strife? Not me. Not me. I want to bring joy. You know, the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. that nobody lights a candle to put it under a bushel basket, but they put it up here so that it emanates light out into all the house so that it can be useful, so that it can be beneficial. And you know, your conversation can be either uplifting or it can be discouraging. You got to decide what it's going to be. I lost my place there for a second. Verse 21 says, as coals are to a burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. Now listen to this. This is interesting. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know that backbiting we were talking about, that gossip? That hurts, and it hurts deep. When the scripture says it goes down into the innermost parts of the belly, there's stories that you can repeat, there's things that you can tell about somebody else that are very hurtful and damaging, and they can go deep, and they can seriously hurt somebody's, I don't know what you'd call it, psyche, I guess. They can have a damaged image of who they are. I mean, and they can feel embarrassed, and they don't want to be around people that know their situation. We need to be careful as God's people about how loose the lips are. You know, in World War II, they used to have a saying, loose lips sink ships. You know, loose lips can also sink a church. You know, we got to have a love for one another. We have to realize and understand that we are part of God's family, that we're all adopted in here and we're all part of the family. And you know what? My wife used to say years ago when the kids lived at home, she says, we got to love them, warts and all. You know, and that means that, yep, there might be some things that you don't like. There might be some idiosyncrasies that you can't connect with or whatever. But guess what? That's your brother or sister in Christ. And for better or for worse, you got to love them as the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. Let's go back to James chapter 3. Verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Pretty interesting, that verse of scripture there. Basically, it's saying this, that the words of a talebearer, the words of a contentious person, gossip, backbiting, those words are hurtful, and they come straight from the pit of hell. Not only that, but it compares it to, now how many of you have watched the news and you've seen the wildfires and how destructive they are, like out in California, you know? I mean, isn't that horrible? I mean, but think about this, and think about this verse of scripture. Think about the destruction that wildfire causes. Think about people losing their homes. Think about the devastation of it. Think about the sadness and sorrow of that wildfire. And think about our words, how destructive they can be, that causes that same kind of damage, but in a different way. Words can be destructive. Verse 7 says, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and they have tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, like the snake. I think, what is that? The asp is poisonous, isn't it? And they're when they strike and they bite you, like death is imminent, like within minutes. The unruly tongue is like a poisonous snake. It stings. It kills. It doesn't lift up. It doesn't edify. It doesn't build up. It's not encouraging. It's discouraging. As God's people, we got to get things right in here so that when we go out there, we can bring the gospel to them and they can see the unity and the love that we have for one another in here. I'm going to tell you, we have one of the best churches that I have ever been to. And we need to continue to cultivate it, and we need to water it, and we need to be careful for it, because we have something here that a lot of other churches would just absolutely love to have. And it's something that money can't buy. We need to protect it, we need to guard it, and we need to grow it. And we need to make sure that we have a love one for another, and that we don't backbite one another, we don't gossip about one another, and that we're careful with our words. Verse 9 says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about that just for a second. Let no corrupt communication come out of here. I'm angry with you right now. Okay, you can be angry. The Bible says what? Be angry and do what? Go up and smack somebody in the face. Go up, tell them right off. I'm mad at you, and boy, I'm going to let you. No. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Use God's grace in your life to deal with the situation, and God will give you the grace. You got to ask for it. Listen, and then you got to accept it. You got to receive it. And it might not be the way that you think it's going to be, but it's the way God wants it to be. But you got to be able to say, okay, this is God's grace, and I'm going to use it to deal with this situation. And it's going to come out in a way that glorifies and honors my Savior. That's what we need to do. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. But what kind? That which is good to the use of edifying. What's the word edifying mean? To build up and to make strong. That's what we need to do here in our church body, to build each other up, to make each other strong. Focus on the talents and the abilities that God has given each one of us. Not that we all, listen, we all have quirks. We could stand in line and we could all pay, okay, Dave, you got this quirk. Doug, you got that quirk. You know, Sarge, you got this one. Sonia, you got that one. No, honey, you don't have any quirks. I'm sorry. I have to say, no, I'm just kidding. But that which is good to the use of edifying, isn't it so much more fulfilling when you walk away from somebody and you have edified them and built them up in the faith rather than, you know, gave them a piece of your mind and left them whimpering like a whipped pup? It's so much better. It's so much more fulfilling to bring God's grace to somebody in that particular situation to minister to. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this brief time in your word. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for the principle, Lord, that you've given to us in James. And help us, Lord, to understand and know that we can use words in a positive way or a negative way. We can use words in a way that's uplifting, or we can use words in a way that are discouraging. So help us, Lord, that we would walk with you on a daily basis and not revert to the nature of the flesh. And, Lord, that we would not utilize the works of the flesh, but, Lord, that we would live in the fruits of the Spirit. So help us, Lord, to edify and uplift one another and to use our conversation to draw people to the foot of the cross so that they might come to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray now, Lord, that you would dismiss us with your blessing. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.